Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by Renee, who is the steward of Keep It Simple, the business that sells all of Sherry's books and CDs and many, many other fabulous practice-related products. Welcome, Renee.
Hi, Jen.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you. So we thought it would be quite timely to, for a couple of reasons, to feature Keep It Simple, partly because this is the time of year that people are doing a lot of buying and that sort of thing, and also that in honor of that, we often release some new practice products, which I think we have done.
Yes, yes, we have done that.
So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what's out there on Keep It Simple these days.
Yeah, well, there's quite a few new things on there. So we have, to start with, a new calendar for 2014, and it's a downloadable calendar with illustrations and text from the book I Don't Want To, I Don't Feel Like It.
Oh, the new book that Sherry and Ashwini put out this last year.
Right, right. Oh.
And it's downloadable, so you can just, I guess, purchase the PDF and then print it yourself.
Yeah, you just purchase it right online, and then it's a PDF. You just get it right away.
Perfect.
Yeah, no shipping, no.
So you can get that one on Christmas Eve, and you'd still be fine.
exactly. Yeah, and I was looking at it a little bit, and the pictures are awesome, and the quotes are awesome, and
I saw a little. I haven't gotten to go through the whole thing, but I saw a little preview of it, and it was just beautiful. Loved it. So sweet.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's also two new recordings from Sherry and Ashwini at Mountain View and Seattle at the East West Bookshops after the book was, the I Don't Want To, I Don't Feel Like It book was published.
Yeah.
And, yeah, those are also in downloadable format
and
to purchase.
I am so looking forward to getting those. I don't know if folks have listened to the recordings over the years, but when Sherry does those sort of speaking tours, if you will, after a book is published, I just find the conversations that she has with folks so enriching, I guess. And I think part of it is that so often there are people in the audience who know her work really, really well, but then there are obviously people in the audience who don't, who are fairly new to things. And I just find that it creates such a neat spectrum of questions that people ask in those series. So I'm really looking forward to hearing those.
Yeah, I have that same experience when I listen to those sorts of recordings from the books, especially the bookstore talks.
Yeah, there's something really neat about that.
Yeah, some really refreshing and sometimes deep conversations. You know,
that's really well put. Refreshing and deep.
Yeah, and then there's also the Sex and Money Self-Guided Journal. Two topics. That have a lot of beliefs and assumptions around them.
They're very, very, really, really, really real.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's in also downloadable format.
And that book was, well, I don't know what year it was first put out, long time ago, I think. It's an excellent workbook. I remember getting that workbook well before I came to the monastery. And I don't know if it's the exact same format, but it's really fun because it, from one side, you start the sex workshop from one side of the book, and then you literally, the other side, it flips over, and the other side starts, you know, the money one starts on the other side. But, and I know it went out of print, and so for a long time people have been asking, gosh, when are you going to reprint that one? And so that's so great that it's now in this downloadable format.
Yeah, and truly a workbook, you know, where you can write in it and do the exercises. And and I'm looking at it was published in 1999.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good. You know what?
So,
I hadn't thought of, Renee, that's fun that you just said, that it's truly a workbook in downloadable form. I know for me, and, you know, maybe this is just an Enneagram, Enneatype 1 thing, but, you know, I get this nice book, and I don't want to write in it. But if you have a downloadable one, you can just download that page again.
That's right.
So it really is like worksheets. That's really
neat. Yeah, it's going to come out in separate pages in a PDF format, so you can...
You could scribble all over it and start over.
Have it over and over again. Yeah.
So cool.
So those are the three or four new things on the front page. We also have three of the books available in downloadable format now. What You Practice Is What You Have, There's Nothing Wrong With You, and The Key.
Yes, I didn't realize that. Oh, that's very fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, so those are in MP3 format to download. And then we have all of the other recordings, the live recordings, also available for download.
Wait, so are you saying those three are in downloadable as in like audio recordings?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Got it. Oh, that's very good. That's very good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Neat.
And so lots of choices for those to purchase.
Yeah, you know, and I can put a plug into, I know The Key actually has been on audio recording for some time, and I have that in my kind of repertoire of recordings. And so when I put things on shuffle, and I, you know, hear recordings of myself, and then every now and then, just like a piece of The Key, Sherry reading The Key will pop up, and it's such a fun thing to have just in that kind of in your flow of recording.
Yeah, definitely. And The Key is something that, you know, was probably one of the first books I started listening to.
Uh-huh.
And I never get tired of listening to it.
No, I'm right with you. Yeah. And it's like, wait, was that always in there? That seems like that
yeah, exactly.
was just added.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And one of the things that's fun in particular about The Key is how it's like every page, every little section stands on its own.
That's so true. Yeah, that is very true. And just to throw this in, I sometimes listen to it with my kids in the car.
Uh-huh.
And one time, one of them said, I think Sherry's the smartest lady I've ever heard.
Oh, that's great.
And he was really little.
Oh, that's great.
It was so cute.
That's a wonderful endorsement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes I just listen to it when they're around, and that's fun, too. And so the other recordings are there also.
Good. Excellent.
The live recordings.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then we also have the quote cards
right.
Available now, which are the little quote cards that sit in the stand.
Yep.
And with quotes from Sherry on them.
Yeah, and that's beautiful. For anyone who's ever been to the monastery, that's what's displayed in our tea cabinet. And every day we choose a different card, put it up there, and there, yeah, I don't know, several hundred, I think, quotes by Sherry in there.
Yeah.
Beautifully
yes.
put
there's
together.
There's 230 cards.
230
yeah.
cards, well, yeah, beautifully put together by someone in the Sangha who just does it out of a labor of love, and all the proceeds go to Living Compassion.
Right, all the proceeds go to Living Compassion, that's correct. Yep. Yeah, so you can go to keepitsimple.org.
It's
find all
right
these
there.
Products there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And lest we forget, practice bracelets are also, I believe, featured on the same place. Yeah. And I was just speaking with someone today, actually, about the power of those bracelets. And one of the things that's fun about it, for especially the holiday season, is, and actually the person I was speaking with about it was talking about how they wear their bracelet and that people who are not at all related to practice, don't do practice themselves, have started noticing it and think it's really fun and really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be a good gift for anyone, even someone who's not necessarily in practice, because you just know what's important to them and what might move them, and choose a saying and order it up.
Yep, that we do get quite a few orders for other people. People giving them as gifts.
Yeah.
And I have to say too that I've heard, which just makes me smile from ear to ear when I hear people, that they really do help with their practice.
Oh, they really
yeah.
do help with our practice. I can.
Yeah, I hear it over and over.
Yeah.
And I just, that's just wonderful.
Yeah. And here's what I think is fun. If you are a person who does the whole holiday thing and, gives gifts and stuff, to not, in the spirit of practice, to not forget yourself. So maybe hop on there and get yourself a bracelet and the new recordings and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they're all very affordable. So, the new recordings and the books, the new downloadable books. So they're a little more affordable than printouts, So,
Yeah.
And the bracelets, just to say, you can, pick a saying. And they have sayings on there, but you don't have to stick to those. You can put whatever you want on them.
you can choose whatever saying you want.
Right, right.
Yeah. Wow, so that's going to keep you guys busy over there at Keep It Simple, huh?
Yes, yes, the holidays are a busy time.
I bet.
You don't schedule anything else.
Those,
but then I get to go on the New Year's retreat.
Yeah, exactly. There's your little pack, knowing that you're going to have your practice intensive.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Renee, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're most welcome. All right. Take good care.
Okay. Take good care. Day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Renee. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Good.
Good.
That was fun to listen to. My gosh, Keep It Simple. You know, it's been around as long as anything in our practice, and it has such a wonderful new life now with you know, its little website and the different things that are there, and it's beautiful, and I think it's happy.
Great. I love that idea of listening to things in the car with my kids.
Yeah.
Practice-related, yeah, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm. And something like the key, you know, kids get it.
Yeah.
A lot of this kids get it. It's we who struggle. You know, little guys, it just makes total sense to them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was my experience when I first read it, which was the first book I found, and I can remember exactly opening it up in the bookstore and going, wow, yes, wow.
Yeah, but shortly thereafter, you began to wend your way north, if I
yes.
recall.
Yes, exactly true. Exactly true. I have some announcements here, unless you have more to share.
No, I'd love to hear those announcements.
Okay. The last at-home retreat of this year is on Saturday, December 14th. And the theme is working meditation, so you can bring a home or work project into conscious, compassionate awareness.
Mm-hmm. What a great thing to do for yourself just a few short days before the big days, huh?
Yes.
Those last-minute things done, and bring some mindfulness and attention and be with yourself and some peace and quiet. Oh, sounds good. No
That's
Christmas
great.
Carols?
Right.
Blaring in the
right.
background.
Yes. Yes. And then soon after that, join you, Sherry, and Santa Sabina for the New Year's retreat. And
mm-hmm.
there are just a few spots left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking forward to it. It's a great theme this year. I happen to know what the theme is. Few people do, but it's a great, you know, we always do themes, as you know. These things, and this is a really fun one. Very, very old and practice oriented, and absolutely right now and timely. So.
Oh, good, great,
mm-hmm.
great. I'm looking forward to it. And the last announcement I have is something very fun, which I've seen online, which is a preview version of next year's schedule,
mm-hmm.
which I learned about in your letter.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's online.
Yes, yeah. And one of the things that's on there that I'm hoping people really will save the date for is the video workshop that we're going to do again this year.
Yes.
And that really lays out the year and kind of sets the tone. And it's a, you know, for us, it's a really great time for people to, for the whole Sangha to be able to come together in an unusual way. And so if people can be there, save the date and let us know, sign up for it. There's no charge for it, but it does really help us to know who to expect.
Yes. And that day is January 19th. And if people haven't seen your letter, let me give the URL for the schedule preview. That is livingcompassion.org livingcompassion.org/2014-schedule-preview. Again, that's livingcompassion.org/2014-schedule-preview.
Yeah, and I know that all the descriptions aren't on things yet, all the details, but at least it says this retreat, it's this long, it's in this place. And so if that's something somebody wants to do, they can, again, mark their calendar, and then when the registration for that opens up, make their move.
Yes, and I have to tell you, I personally really appreciate having the dates ahead of time, you know, and trying to plan and schedule stuff for the year. It's just really great to have it all out there ahead of time. And
You know what your choices are, because otherwise people used to say, you know, they sign up for something in the first quarter of the year because it sounds good and they're ready, and then, oh, this really great thing in the third quarter, and they've already used their vacation time or their family away time. And it's helpful to have the year at a glance.
Great. And a couple of reminders, the usual ones. Our call-in number is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And then you'd enter your PIN followed by pound. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Let's get started.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Debbie.
Hey, Debbie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. You got a little progress report for us?
I do. I guess the most important progress report for me right now is that when she slept a ton during the day today, she napped for 3 hours early morning, and then 2.5 hours later, she was just laughing and laughing and laughing all night long. And, you know, I just think there's something for everybody to learn from that.
I think so. I'm going to try it myself the first chance I get.
You're going to nap for 5.5 hours?
During
the course
and laugh
of the day?
All night. Yep.
Yeah.
And laugh all night. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, she's doing great. She's growing like unbelievably and just developing, and I love her personality. She's completely chill, and she laughs a lot, and she's very social, and she's just great.
How old is she now?
10.5 months.
Oh.
Yep.
Truly, it seems like yesterday, doesn't it, when she arrived?
That we were in the hospital room calling you up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's fabulous. So what else is going on?
Well, I think, I had other ideas in mind. I think the sleep thing is one of them. But what's on my mind today is just that I was doing something with my class today, and I had them journal on what makes them happy, and then what they believe they want and what they need. And I journaled along with them. And I found that my two lists had a ton of overlap. And when I wrote this curriculum that I was following a couple years ago, that was not the case. And I just, you know, the lesson was on focus, you know, the importance of focus. And it just drove home for me the understanding that what one focuses on appreciates. And
yes.
And that was really nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think
Well, it's just, you know, it's one of those kind of, I don't know what the expression would be. I can think of two or three disgusting ones. But that place that we go to when we realize that the life we have currently is the result of our focus. That's how we got it. And a lot of times when we get that sort of information, our lives aren't in a place where that makes us happy. But the thing, the encouraging part of that is if I can focus and get my life to this state that I don't want, then I can focus and get my life to a state that I do want. Because the process is the same, right? It's just what I'm focusing on is different.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's powerful.
Yeah, yeah. And I see it both ways powerfully today. I just happened to have access to that. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's one of those kinds of things that you just kind of wish everybody knew. Because when we're growing up, a lot of us got a lot of information that, now, nobody said focusing on the negative will get you where you want to be, but that's kind of the message that came across. You know, you need to worry and be anxious. You know, if you're in school, you have to worry about your grades, and you have to feel bad if you don't do well, and you have to, you know, there's just all this kind of the idea being that if you're stressed, that's the best way to be, to increase your chances of getting what you want and being successful.
Yeah, and it's almost like a tacit collusion, you know, a tacit agreement that you know, we're all going to play hard in this direction.
Yeah. Even though, well, of course, again, you know, I know it doesn't work for me. You know it doesn't work for you. But we're just, you know, I'm just me. Everybody else says that it's going to work. and it must be working for them, so I must be the only one that it isn't working for. And therefore, there's something wrong with me, not something wrong with the system. But I think as more and more of us admit that, no, I'm not being successful with that format either, then we're going to increasingly look at the system and realize that the system is what's messed up, not us. You know, we're doing exactly the right thing. It's just that what we're focusing on is taking us where we don't want to go rather than where we do want to go.
Yeah, Sherry. And, you know, like, I look at my daughter, and, I mean, everything is just one big game. It's all play. It's all
mm-hmm.
play.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there is. And,
yep.
You know,
and it's fun.
When does that change?
Why does that have to change?
It doesn't have to change.
No, it really doesn't. It doesn't. No. No. And those beliefs that we wouldn't get anything done, a couple of weeks ago, on Good News Update, we had a little gal who, as she says, I grew up with the monks, and it's true. We've known her.
Yeah,
well, I've known her.
I've
known her parents since before they were a couple. And so here are these kids who are just turned loose to do something that they're interested in, that they want to do because it strikes them as fun, and they want to learn how to do it. And they're just lit up like Christmas trees. Compared to kids in a regular situation where the teacher, poor, beleaguered teacher, is trying to pound information into them that they're not interested in, don't want, don't like, aren't inspired by. And so the belief that if we just let kids be who they are, they'll turn out to be ne'er-do-wells, I think we've got a lot of information that says not letting them be who they are is producing a lot of ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think we're hitting political areas along the lines of probably the drug problem would go away if we would legalize drugs. And everybody gets so emotional about the whole thing that we have to keep doing it the way we've always done it, no matter how much it doesn't work and no matter how unhappy everybody is.
Well, you know, Shelley, like my experience in the classroom with kids is that, you know, if ever, you know, there's distracted behavior and I just focus on the kids that are really focused, that's what builds in the class. It never worked for me, ever, to pay attention to the bad behavior. Ever. Never worked.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think I was saying on this show to somebody somewhere In fact, I was watching a while back the most hysterical video of this kid throwing a temper tantrum. And as soon as somebody would look at him, he'd fall down on the floor and start kicking and screaming and yelling. And then people would walk away, and he would just get up and kind of wander around until one of them would come into view again, and he'd throw himself down on the floor. And it's like, the message is very clear there. Let's
yeah.
just ignore the behavior that we don't want to experience and heavily, heavily reward the experience that we do.
And, you know, Sherry, I think that goes for, like, not just classroom or, but, like, you know, with my husband and with
yes.
myself, like with my
yes.
own bad behavior, just ignore it and onward.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. Yes, because in that we're seeing what is beneath that bad behavior, behind it. We're seeing what is authentically so. And when we give it all of our attention, we make it appear to be real, and it's not. So we turn our attention away, it disappears. Well, there's all the proof we needed that it's not real.
Yes, that is
mm-hmm.
totally my experience.
Yeah. Well, it's great to talk with you. Now, is she currently napping or laughing?
Sleeping. This is it. She's down for the night.
She's out for the night.
You never know. I shouldn't say that. That's just an idea.
She could be.
There's a lot of
giggling anytime now.
Yeah, she could be.
Yeah, we're going
hopefully in her sleep. Thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you, Debbie. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Debbie. You're listening to Open Air. That was such a fun conversation, Sherry.
Yeah, and I like the giggling in her sleep. that's something to aspire to, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, yes, indeed. We're going to break and hear from our coaches program, Sherry, and then we'll be back to talk to more callers.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry Michael. It's Linda from Alabama.
Hi.
Hey, Linda. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, my dad's been really badly disabled for a really long time, and my mom's been his, like, caretaker. And part of his problem is dementia. He, you know, is memory issues and stuff like that. And now all of a sudden my mom probably lost her memory too. And I don't know, I'm just having a hard time with it. I don't know. I'm not even sure what to say about it except it's just hard.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what's hard about it?
I can't. There's so many different things. It's like you know, just the fact that my, I feel like I'm losing my mom and she's still here. And then, you know, there's a lot more than that, but I think actually that might be the thing that's bothering me the most. And then I don't, and you know, when it comes to like practice, it's kind of like, I'm kind of like going, well, how much of this is, you know, self-hate sort of taking advantage of a horrible thing to make me feel miserable, and how much of it is, you know, just grief or...
And is there an element of anger or that kind of, there's something wrong with this, this shouldn't be happening?
Not right, yeah. How can I possibly have two parents with memory issues? Yeah, that's there, even though I realize, you know, I kind of like, I can kind of back down from that and go, you know, it is what it is. I mean, that is probably what I'm having the hardest time with, accepting that what it is. And every once in a while I can get there, and then I lose it again.
And are they still, do they live at home?
They do. They live at home. I live about 5 hours away from me and 12 hours away from my sister. And we've had to get caretakers, which they're not real happy about. And so that's, you know, like I said, there's a lot of different levels. Some of it's that, you know, having to be something my mom doesn't really want happening. She doesn't know that she's not remembering. It's the hardest part about it for me. For her, that's the blessing. I mean, she doesn't know. But for me, when I'm trying to say to her, you got to have help, and she's saying, but we're doing fine. And I'm like, no, you're not. No, and everybody's, I mean, for a while, I just kind of let them go along because that's what they wanted and everything. But now all the, you know, other people have gotten involved, and it's like everybody's, they just can't stay by themselves anymore. So.
Yeah, and of course, if she understood that there's danger, then there would probably be some sympathy. You know, you and your sister are far enough away that if something happened, there would be nothing you could do. But she doesn't see that there's any danger. You know, it's funny, isn't it? It's like having teenagers.
It really is.
You know,
a lot like teenagers.
Yeah, they think they know what they're doing, and you just shake your head because you can see so clearly that they don't. So lots of different elements, right? So that's struggle. I mean, you hate to make them unhappy. Probably doesn't matter so much with your dad, right? Because he's not.
You know, he comes and goes, and he can be a stubborn guy, but he's always been sort of he's actually nicer as an older person than he was as a younger person in a lot of ways. But he can be like if he gets delusional at night, and he can like if he decides he's going to do something, you can't stop him kind of, and so that becomes a problem too. So and he doesn't like having the extra people. Having other people around make him worse. And so that's why we didn't do it at first, because whatever's wrong with him, when he gets anything that happens that's out of the ordinary makes him more confused, and then he gets more belligerent, or, you know, he's not always belligerent, but sometimes he is, and it's just, so having people around actually makes him worse. But we can't leave her alone anymore. She doesn't even, you know, she can't even remember whether she's eaten or not. It's the strangest thing. She can do everything, but she can't remember anything. So as long as you're there to say, do this and this and this and this, she can do it.
So that, the upset of that, and then in addition, being in that position of really kind of the parent to the parents.
Right, having that role.
Mm-hmm.
And so you. You know, like I don't have the parent that I can call and, you know, get to help me or whatever. You know, I have to be the one.
Right. Yeah. It really is a almost total role reversal when it goes in this way, where the parents live long enough to have these kinds of issues and that sort of thing.
Right.
And as you say, when you can get through all of that and get back to center, then there's a realization that this is just how it is and there's really nothing you can do about it and it's nobody's fault and you just kind of have to make your way through it. You kind of, I don't know, there's a word, but and then comes all of the emotional stuff, the loss and the, I would imagine some fear.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
And there's not just fear for them, but also fear, you know, when you see this, when you're right there in it, your own, then there's also fear of what's going to happen to me. I mean, here I have two parents with dementia, and, you know, but I mean, they're 80-something years old.
Yeah.
And I know it's just my brain just, I don't know. I think I just need to have that accepted as it is, repeated over and over in my head, 100 million constantly all day long until I.
Well,
get
you know,
it.
Linda, that's a good argument for recording and listening, recording
right.
a lot, and listening a lot, right? Because that can be that reminder that's where you need to be. That indulging these other things. Now that's not the same as denying grief. So because it is sad and it is scary and it is upsetting and it is all of those things. But you've been practicing long enough to know the difference between that and when the voices of karmic conditioning, self-hate, come in to just torture you.
Right. I have a little bit of a hard time telling the difference between the two.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, I guess the piece that gets me is the grief. It's like when it comes to all the stuff about being an adult and having to tell them that they have to do things they don't want to do and all that. I kind of like can put myself like, okay, this is just something I have to do and I just need to do it, you know. And then when it comes to the grief part, most of the time I don't let it come in, but I'll like read something and it'll be, you know, about something similar or whatever and I just break down and then it's like I stay. That's like going to the dark room. You know, it's like I've gone to the dark room and I can't get back out. And
well, now let me ask you about that, okay? Because so you break down, you cry, there's sadness there, and you go through that to the other side. What happens? Do you get to the other side of, whew, had a good cry and let all of that out and felt all of that and now I can go on? Or does it descend into a conversation?
That's a good question. Let's see. It probably gets to a conversation and then I start, I don't know. I just mostly feel sad. I mean, like I have days where I just feel sad and I can't unfeel sad, you know. And so I do different things. Like I just go ahead and be however I feel. And then, or I try to just say, okay, this is how it is. People get old and this is what happens, and it's just part of life, and expecting it to be different is part of the problem. And see, I can feel it, make myself feel better when I say that right now.
Well, and, you know, you sound very mentorish when you are saying those things.
Right?
And so there is, it is a tricky thing. It can be a very fine line when somebody is sad, and feeling the loss, and then that's being used to make meaning or create a story, or that it's that part that's so dangerous for us, because the being sad, you know, it's hard sometimes to do the things that you need to do when it just feels like everything in you is going to sadness, and yet that grieving process does pass if we don't let it go into a story. Because when it goes into the story, of course, it can last forever.
Right. So, like, because I, you know, I guess I have had times where I've cried, and then it's like I got, you know, I cried a little bit, and then I was like, okay, you know, that's enough of that for now. I'm just go on to whatever I'm doing next.
Yeah.
But so if I instead of steeping, and it's probably come some kind of stories come in.
Yeah.
Sort of taken over.
And is the other big clue, of course, that we always have is when somebody's talking to you.
Right.
You know, that's one. And you know the other part of this that to me feels important to take advantage of. So there's applying practice in the ways that you're doing and seeing all of the different aspects that come up and attempting to be there for them or take care of them in whatever way and feel what you're feeling and that sort of thing. And be all right with this is life, this is what happens. I think it's a really good opportunity for us to pursue that direction that you mentioned of and what does this mean for me? How do I want to prepare for this? Because I don't want to be the person who doesn't know I can't take care of myself and argues for that and puts somebody else in a position of vulnerability because they have to decide whether to give in to what I'm demanding, which could result in harm that they would then feel guilty and responsible for. You know, all of those things. Take responsibility for looking at that deeply and making those decisions while we can make them with as clear a thinking process as we have available to us.
Nah, that's a good idea. So, I mean, because when you first said it, I thought, well, how would you know? Because she doesn't know. But I know.
That's right.
So I could write it down now. Like, okay, if I ever get to where I don't know, I'm forgetting and I don't know, this is what I want you to do.
Yes, and it doesn't matter what I say. Do what's best for, you know, however
right.
you want that to be. Yeah.
Right. Because part of my problem is I don't have any biological children, so it's kind of like I'm like, well, who's going to do anything? But,
yeah.
So they're trying to
figure out. Yeah, so you really want to be clear, right? Because, you're liable to wind up depending on, well, of course, we never know who we're going to wind up depending on, do we?
Right, true. You don't really know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that
makes sense. Here's the last thing I want to say to you, and that is lots of recordings about you doing the best job that you can do, and then it's a really hard place to be in, and you're showing up, and you're taking responsibility, and you're doing it. So thank you to the person who is doing that, and a lot of acknowledgement for how hard and how painful it is, and that she's finding the willingness to show up and do it.
Sherry, I think we just lost Linda.
Oh, dear. Well, I hope she heard that.
Yes. And as you know, this conversation is recorded.
Yes. All right. That's a good point. She can listen to it later.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, she just dropped off a couple seconds ago.
Okay.
Thank you, Linda, for joining us. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello, this is Michael and Sherry. This is Anne calling from the Bay Area, and I am once again shocked to get on. Thrilled and shocked and delighted.
Well, it's great to have you. What's going
on? I hear, you know, I'm listening, and then I hear, you're now unmuted, and I'm like, what, me? Me? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I was just calling to say, because I'm participating, and to say thank you for the wonderful, wonderful workshop on Sunday. It's always great to be with Sangha. It was just fantastic. I mean, I just laughed so much. I wish, you know what would be really fun to do is do one of those one day where everybody in the Sangha can participate, do it as a video thing.
Mm.
And wouldn't that be fun? And have everybody participate? Because it was just fantastic. You know, I just feel like I'm going to have such a great December because of that workshop. So.
You're set.
Yes, I'm good. And I was reminded of something recently that was so helpful to me. I was talking to somebody about their process, and they were looking at a pattern and finding the willingness to look at it without needing to do something about it, but worried about how to get how to get out of it. I'm not exactly sure how to describe it without talking about the specific content. But what I saw in that that was so exciting was, in the moment that we are looking at the karma, in that moment the karma has ended. There's nothing to do about it. You know what I mean?
Yes, that is a profound and true statement. Yes.
I mean, it was like so incredibly helpful to be witness to this person's process and see that and get that again for myself, because what karma would have us believe is this is going to be really hard to work out and get over and get through.
Yes.
And no, right? No, it doesn't. In this moment, it does not exist.
Yes. Yeah. And so we started off talking, of course, about directing the attention as we are wont to do. And so there it is. If I am in a situation, I'm in the oh my God, what am I going to do? Because this is going on and that's going on and I'm feeling this way. And then what I'm doing, I've just jumped into the story with the karma, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I step back from it and say, oh, there's this process that goes, so we're doing a little process mapping, right? There's this process
mm-hmm.
that goes on. And there's a lot of conversation about that. And then there's a belief that this, and there's a, and the person who is describing that has no relationship whatsoever to that story that's being told.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And
yes.
So it's obvious that is a story that's being told. There's nothing real about it, and the karma has ended.
I just find that so amazing. Because what karma would have me believe is that, as I said, this is going to take a while to work through.
Oh, a lifetime, at least.
It's just like, wow.
Yeah, and it can even be, so I did the whole process mapping thing, but it can be as simple as I'm caught in a whole karmic karma, and then I look out at a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm noticing the tree.
I'm here.
And the karma doesn't exist. Then I turn my attention back to this problem that I have, and there it is again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we literally bring it into existence with our attention, moment by moment by moment.
Yes, and when I'm looking at the when I'm in the place where I'm looking at the process, that's very clear. When I'm in the place where I'm identified with the story, that makes no sense at all.
No sense whatsoever.
Oh, my gosh.
It's and so the image, of course, that we use often, the light room and the dark room. There it is. When I'm in the light room, everything is obvious. Everything is clear. And then I'm in the dark room, and I don't understand anything. Everything is confusing, and I don't get it. Nothing makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and there's nothing, excuse me just a moment, but there's nothing about the content. It has nothing to do with content. Both situations are pure process. What were you going to say?
Yes, well, I just had one of those amazing experiences to share. One of the things I wrote down and put on my computer from the recent email class was, I don't know if you remember this phrase, breath stroke.
Yes.
B-R-E-A-T-H, stroke,
yes.
which I just loved for some reason. So I've been doing my breath strokes. And then, you know, I've been practicing yoga for a long time, and I was in class the other day, and one of my teachers said, each yoga pose you do creates a different breath imprint on the body. And it was just like one of those, oh, my gosh, experiences. It was like, I said, what? And I was like, oh, that is so true. Each pose is designed to have the body receive the breath in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought of another one besides breath strokes. there's breath prints instead of footprints.
Oh, that's great. It's really,
so,
it's
I just
true,
to share
isn't
that.
It? It's true. And the thing about it is, when we are identified with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, all that's happening is the same thing over and over and over. And because we're identified with it, we think it's new and fresh and compelling. Right?
Yes.
When we are in the moment, something like the breath that from ego's perspective is so boring that it's just it's unendurable. When we're present with it, each, as you're indicating with the yoga poses, each breath is completely new and unique and amazing. Each breath.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so when we're, go ahead.
No, go ahead. So
when we're in a pose, then we can really have, if we're paying attention, a strong sense of that. You know, you can really feel how the body is breathing differently or taking in the breath in a different way. It's like the breath is nurturing and nourishing and supporting the body in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we realize that just sitting, walking, standing, dancing, whatever it is, the body is able to receive the breath in a different way each moment.
Yeah, I realized as you were speaking that what those two things have in common for me is they have each opened up. It's like a new doorway into practice. It's like it feels like I have this completely new room I'm in to explore. It's like, wow, I've never looked at it this way before, and this is really going to be fun to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow, I get to feel the breath as an imprint on my body. And how is that? And, you know, how is it when I'm in this position? And how is it when I'm in that position? I don't know. It's just very exciting and fun.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's life unfolding.
Yes. And the same as stepping outside the story and having the karma end. There's just, it's so much fun to, there's no reason not to be joyful in that.
That's right. That's right. And with the way you're describing it, with each moment of focus, as you're describing, all karma is ending.
All? Did you say all karma is ending?
All karma is ending. So back to your friend, right? There's a karma that is ending, but being, as you're describing, with the breath, with the all of the attention and awareness focused on the body, focused on the breath, all karma is ended.
Well, that's another wow.
Play with that, and I think you'll see how
okay,
it is
true. Will do. All right. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks,
Michael.
Ann. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ann. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. We have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Okay, next caller. on computer. There we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Greta.
Hi.
Hey, Greta. How you doing?
Hi. I'm doing okay. Having an interesting time.
Aha. Can you say a little more about that?
Well, it's amazingly still the physical issues, but I was feeling really crappy, and then I had a day where I felt incredibly great, and today I'm not so great. But what was so helpful about all of it, I guess, is just seeing how I'm able to use practice in there, and you know, even though the sort of physical condition I feel like really affects my mental outlook and I struggle a great deal, I was able to a lot of effort turn my attention to being grateful. And then having a really good day and feeling all this, like a different person, like with a different body, and just having all this energy moving through me and just moving and moving. It was kind of like by turning my attention in that way, I opened up the possibility that that could happen.
Uh-huh. And what then about the next day where it's not so much?
I'm having a harder time doing that.
Uh-huh.
I keep coming back to, I'm so grateful for that experience that I had yesterday, because I can see what's possible when conditioning tells me all these things about how I am, and, you know, it just starts to, the whole mental process goes into the dark room because the physical process is so hard. I can say, well, not, you know, it's not, because I know, you know, I know what I experienced. So
yes.
I have the benefit of that.
It's really important, isn't it? Because if you never had that kind of experience, when the voices come in and say, well, this is it, you know, this is it, this is your life, you're going to feel like this forever, and there's no choice, and there's no hope, and that's just all there is to it. It would be easy to believe them and despair. But in fact, you've had a different experience. Since this has been going on, you've had time when you felt great. So therefore, the thing that we don't know is why, right? What is the exact combination? You know, it's not like there's a little key that you can turn and you get the same results, but you know the direction to go in. You know, you have a good sense of what you were doing when it worked.
Right. And not necessarily to have a lot of expectations, but just as you were talking to another caller, you know, we don't need to practice all of this stuff that's wrong with everything, even though I might feel physically bad, that practice is not assisting the being in any way with getting through the feeling bad.
Right. Yeah. So it's not, it's not, what we know is we can't do something in order to get something. Right. We can't let go in order to feel better.
Right.
We just can't. It doesn't work that way. And so we have to be interested in doing what we're doing for the sake of doing it. So it's when Dogen says we don't sit in order to become enlightened, we sit because we're enlightened. So we do what we do because it's who we are, and it's what we want, and it's what we value. And sometimes that results in something that's delightful. Sometimes it doesn't. but we're not doing it to get something that's delightful and then be disappointed when it doesn't happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very humbling, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, even in the midst of times when I'm not feeling good, there are so many blessings from practice to this continuation of the email class has provided quite a few surprises where I'll pick up the recorder to talk about today's topic and end up somewhere I didn't think I was going to go. And at my guidance call, the monthly guidance call last month, the gratitude was suggested as the practice that I use for what I was talking about. And so, you know, it's wonderful how whatever it is, I can just end up back there, or that I can start with gratitude and, you know, get some connection or help that helps to turn my attention.
Yes. Yes. And it's that, I guess it's Meister Eckhart, and I know it was the thing for, St. Teresa of Avila, to practice gratitude until we feel gratitude. So I'm feeling grateful, I practice gratitude. I'm not feeling that grateful, I practice gratitude.
Yeah, I think that's a good one for me. you know, it's not that hard. There's only one thing to do, and then I can just focus on that.
Yes, and if I'm not feeling it, then I need to focus more, and I need to focus longer because, of course, what it does, what current conditioning wants to do to us is to say it's not working. And no matter what our life circumstances are, it'll try that. Right? It's not working. You're trying to have a certain experience and it's not working. Well, what I want to do is be completely with life. And my way to be completely with life is to live in gratitude. So here I am living in gratitude. Therefore, it's working. I'm not going to look to conditioned mind to see if I'm feeling the way I want to be or should be feeling when I'm practicing gratitude. I'm just practicing gratitude, and I'm grateful that I'm practicing gratitude.
Yeah, that's a great reminder, because how I'm feeling is always an issue for me anyway. So if I just take feeling out of the picture, then I can just practice and not
exactly
have that be a measure of anything.
Right, because we know only karmic conditioning is going to be interested in that measurement.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. It's so counter to our conditioning that to be with life is to have all of these different experiences. And we're conditioned that we should only have these, you know, these five. Feel good, feel better, feel great. Feel best. And anything else is wrong and a mistake and says something about us. But we're not actually constructed in that way. We're actually constructed to feel all kinds of things. And so to be with how I am without it being about how I feel and not comparing that to anything else is radical stuff. And I think it is the stuff that freedom is made of.
Yeah, I've seen that. And so more practice for me.
More practice for all of us. Yeah, more practice for all of us all the time. And I was talking with somebody recently who made the statement that something ruined my life. And I was looking at that, thinking, well, actually, that's not possible. Because whatever happens to me that causes me to seek awakening, to seek to go beyond karma, has to be a gift.
I'm on the phone.
Yes.
It just
yes.
simply has to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it would idealize feeling well. I want to feel good. I want to always feel good. But the one idealizing that is the one that wants to go to sleep and not have to come to in order to practice with something.
Oh, absolutely. I really saw through that not that long ago that the reason I want to get somewhere with this whole thing is so I don't have to pay attention to it anymore.
Yeah.
Or part of me wants
yeah.
to have
oh, yeah,
that experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's almost never, I mean, that's a big moment when you realize something like that, because that's not the way it's going to be presented to us. You know, when I get through this, when I feel better, then I'll, you know, and there's these rosy pictures of how I'll be and just so open and present and magnanimous. And but actually what it's got in mind for me is I'll go sound asleep until I run into the next brick wall and have to wake up.
Yeah, exactly. It's an excellent reminder of that. And we know we don't have to be in pain to wake up, but here we are. So however we are, we're still pursuing waking up.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I sure appreciate
thank you.
The opportunity.
Thanks for checking in. It's a good to know. Good report.
Good night.
Good night, Greta.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're at that in-between place, a couple minutes to the hour here.
I think we'll just say adieu. How about
adieu.
That?
Adieu. Yes, I think that's
all right.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
it's been
and,
a great show.
Yeah, hopefully whoever didn't get on tonight will join us again next week, and we'll try again.
Sounds great. Thank you,
all
Sherry.
Right. Thanks, Michael.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.